fans, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
This is VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. African football kicks off the March 7th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. We're about 2 weeks away to the final round of qualifying matches for the 2019 Africa Cup of Nations tournament in Egypt. So far, 14 teams have officially booked their tickets to Egypt 2019, which will feature 24 teams overall, making it the largest Nations Cup in terms of participating teams in history. Let's run down the 14 teams that have already booked their tickets to Egypt. They are, in alphabetical order, Algeria, host Egypt, Ghana, Guinea, Ivory Coast, Kenya, Madagascar, Mali, Mauritania, Morocco, Nigeria, Senegal, Tunisia, and Uganda. Madagascar and Mauritania will both be making their debuts at the African Football Fiesta, which begins June 21st and goes through July 19th. Madagascar's French coach, Nicolas Dupuy, is being rewarded for guiding the team to its first ever Nations Cup finals. Madagascar's Football Federation has extended the contract of the 51-year-old Dupuy until the end of this year's Nations Cup in Egypt. Coach Dupuy is also part of the technical staff at the French fourth-tier club Fleury 91. He's led Madagascar to 3 victories in their Nations Cup qualifying campaign so far, with 1 draw and 1 defeat. Madagascar will travel to Senegal for its final Nations Cup qualifier on March 22nd. Like Madagascar, Senegal already has qualified for Egypt 2019. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. In European club football, Manchester United manager Ole Gunnar Solskjaer says his team always believed it could pull off a remarkable comeback against Paris Saint-Germain and reach the UEFA Champions League quarterfinals.
Yeah, we set out the plan. It wasn't about having the ball and outplaying them, because if you give this team too much space and time with Mbappe, you saw a few times in the first half when we missed our defensive shape, they threw us straight away. So the plan was to get the first goal, be in the game with 5 minutes to go or 10 minutes to go, and we were.
And the plan worked. Marcus Rashford's injury time penalty shot sent Man U through to the Champions League quarterfinals. Man U beat PSG 3-1 in the French capital to overturn a 2-goal deficit from the first leg. The teams tied 3-3 on aggregate, but Manchester United progressed to the last 8 on away goals. Now, the Slovenian referee Damir Skomina awarded Man U the penalty shot after a lengthy video review that showed PSG defender Presnel Kimpembe jumped up to block Diego Dalic with his elbow. Rashford stepped up to the penalty spot, kept his nerve, and blasted the ball past PSG's Italian star goalkeeper, Gianluigi Buffon. Man U was given only a slim chance of advancing after losing 2-0 at home in the first leg. Coach Ole Gunnar Solskjaer's task was made even harder in Paris by the fact that 10 of his players were either injured or suspended. He says Man U showed its fighting spirit, and he likes his team's chances ahead of the March 15th quarterfinal draw.
Of course, we fancy ourselves. We can go all the way, but we could... We just have to wait for the draw and then take the game as it comes. Now we've had loads of injuries, suspensions. But that was maybe a good thing today because we had a fresh team, loads of energy. We knew we had to defend and be humble enough to work hard, and we had a team to do that.
Meanwhile, the Brazilian Alex Telles scored a penalty in extra time to send Porto into the UEFA Champions League quarterfinals with a 3-1 victory over Roma in Portugal. Porto won the series on aggregate 4-3. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. Swiss tennis great Roger Federer and retired English soccer star David Beckham both had major milestones recently. Joining us now with that story is my VOA colleague Jim Stevenson, and Jim begins with some reaction from Federer.
I was hoping that one day I was going to win a title just before that Milan final, and I did. And that I'm sitting here today having won 100 is, I don't know, is disbelief.
Swiss tennis great Roger Federer has reached rarefied air as he claimed his 100th career title at the Dubai Tennis Championships. The 37-year-old Federer beat 20-year-old Stefanos Tsitsipas of Greece 6-4, 6-4.
Yeah, it had to be that way, I guess, you know, playing a youngster. So he had a great run, that's what I told him as well in Marseille, and then to back it up here again this week, he had a brutal match against Monfils yesterday, so I think he should be very proud of his run.
Federer says he didn't set out to win 100 titles, but felt he could as he edged closer.
The last few titles, ever since I guess I reached like 96, 97, I started feeling, well, maybe 100 is possible, and it was, and it's a big moment for me.
Federer is currently ranked fourth in the world behind Alexander Zverev of Germany. Novak Djokovic of Serbia and Rafael Nadal of Spain hold the top two spots respectively. Federer's road to 100 titles has not all been paved with glorious wins.
I haven't won all 100 finals that I played in. I can tell you that. I lost over 50 finals. And I think that's what I see. I see a lot of tennis. I see a lot of running. And a privilege still to be playing this sport right now today.
Federer needs 10 more titles to surpass American Jimmy Connors, who holds the men's record of 109.
I draw inspiration from it, but I'm not here out here to shatter every one record out there. And he's a special player and a special legend in the sport. And if he keeps that record, it's all good. I'm just happy to have reached 100 in my career.
It's likely Federer won't match Czech Martina Navratilova, who holds the all-time tennis record with 167 women's singles crowns. But he says his time on the court is always great, especially now.
I always enjoy playing the next generation, you know, that come through, because one day I'll be sitting on my couch and I'll be watching them and enjoying their tennis.
Unseeded Australian Nick Kyrgios wasn't expected to win the Mexican Open in Acapulco, but he did, with a 6-3, 6-4 triumph over second-seeded German Alexander Zverev.
I didn't expect much at all today. You know, definitely the underdog. He's been playing great tennis, so I knew I had to play the right way.
Kyrgios said one of his favorite shots worked well for him in the final.
You know, I don't really like to rally all that much, so, you know, the drop shot's always a good option. Terrible example for people out there. So, you know, sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't, and today it did.
The tournament run had Kyrgios knocking off three top 10 players, including Spanish great Rafael Nadal. The 23-year-old Australian spoke of tough times as he doubted his abilities. He hopes his win will not only revive him, but also inspire others.
I was down and out, really down and out, and I really didn't know what I was going to do. And, you know, a week like this can change. So, you know, if I can do it, you guys can do it as well.
Kyrgios entered the Mexico Open ranked 72nd in the world, following a career high at number 13 over 2 years ago. The win vaults him to number 33 and gives him entry into some big events.
You know, I'm just super excited to get to Indian Wells, Miami, two of my favorite tournaments. You know, I'm just looking forward to it. I'm going to soak it up tonight, obviously. It's an amazing atmosphere. I heard there's a players' party again, so, you know, I'm just going to lap it up and then, you know, just get to Indian Wells and another opportunity, another chance, and incredibly blessed to go there and place in some of the beautiful places in the world.
3, 2, 1. And with the cover removed, football great David Beckham's statue was revealed.
My biggest thanks is to you guys. My biggest thanks is to the fans. When I first moved to LA, people turned around to me and said, LA is a place where dreams come true. Well, LA, today, a dream came true. Thank you very much.
The statue outside the Carson, California stadium, home of Major League Soccer's Los Angeles Galaxy, is the first for any MLS player, according to the team. Beckham joined the club in 2007 and helped raise the credibility of the young league at a time when professional soccer was trying to gain a foothold among sports fans in the United States.
Now immortalized in the LA Galaxy Ring of Honor, David Beckham.
As the Galaxy honored the 43-year-old Beckham at its season-opening game, the football icon thanked the spectators for their support.
I feel very humbled to be accepted like this by yourselves. From day one, you accepted me like one of your own. I was proud to represent the LA Galaxy for the 6 years. But my proudest moment was giving you guys the championship.
Beckham is the first British football player to have won league titles in four countries. He was pleased his statue would stand for future generations to see.
It makes me very proud that there's a statue that my children and my children's children can visit one day and say they're very proud to see their dad and their granddad. So, thank you very much.
Beckham played in 98 MLS games over six seasons, scoring 18 goals with five game winners and helping LA win the MLS championship in 2011. He told the media he never imagined his impact would have been as large as it turned out to be.
You could have turned around to me when I first joined the Galaxy, and we've talked about that day, you know, so many times. If you'd have turned around to me and said, one day you're going to have a statue in front of the stadium, I'd have just laughed and, you know, been very polite about it.
The David Beckham statue was made by Israeli artist Omri Amrani, who has created similar works honoring 165 athletes, including NBA greats Michael Jordan, LeBron James, and Shaquille O'Neal.
Thanks for that spicy sports package, Jim. That's my VOA colleague, Jim Stevenson. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. More tennis news now. British star Andy Murray is hoping to return to competitive tennis after dealing with a chronic hip injury. Picking up the story is my VOA colleague, Gwen Uten. Sporty greetings, Gwen.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. Just three short months ago, hip pain forced three-time Grand Slam champion Andy Murray out of the Australian Open. In an emotional news conference that followed, Murray conceded that the pain was just too much, and he all but confirmed his retirement from the sport. Well, after undergoing hip surgery, Murray has now revealed he is pain-free and looking to make a comeback, possibly in doubles action at this year's Wimbledon tournament.
To play singles at Wimbledon, I mean, I'd say it'd be less than 50% chance of playing, doubles, maybe, possibly. One of the American doubles players, Bob Bryan, had the same operation and was competing after 5.5 months in Australia, so played the Australian Open. But there's also, you know, there's a vast difference between singles and doubles in terms of the physicality and the loads that you put through the body. So whether I'd be able to get back to playing singles in that period of time, it's really difficult for me to say.
Murray cited Bob Bryan's ability to compete in doubles 5 months after he underwent hip surgery. I want to mention that no tennis player has competed in singles after undergoing that same procedure. Surgeons offered Murray no guarantee that his operation would save his career, and Murray says he's taking a bit of a gamble in contemplating a return to competitive tennis.
At the time, a lot of the surgeons and stuff that I'd spoken to about the operation, no one had told me that it was an option to come back and start playing again and, you know, to get back to the highest level. So for me, it was either have the operation and stop or try to kind of get through until Wimbledon with my current hip. And, now that I've had the operation, I don't feel any pressure to come back and play. I don't feel like I have to get back to playing at Wimbledon or play tennis again. I just want to get my hip as good as it can be. And if it allows me to play, that's brilliant. But if not, I'm not in pain anymore. And I'm happy with that.
Murray says he will give himself ample time to heal before returning to tennis. His fans are no doubt hoping to see Murray back on the court. He's arguably Britain's most successful and talented star. Murray has won 45 ATP singles titles, and in 2016, he entered the record books as the first tennis player to win back-to-back Olympic gold medals. He defeated Roger Federer in London 2012. And Juan Martín Del Potro in 2016 in Rio. And speaking of the Olympics, one Olympic hopeful is hoping to swim his way to the 2020 Olympics in Tokyo and emulate his idol, the most decorated Olympian of all time, Michael Phelps.
One night I was just sitting at home watching YouTube and I just came across a film about Michael Phelps. I just decided I want to be the new person who's swimming like Michael Phelps.
That was Eid al-Jazairi speaking on web video about his dream of becoming a world-class swimmer. He's come a long way since 2016 when he arrived in England as a refugee from Syria, unable to swim at all. But despite his fears, he took a boat across the Mediterranean Sea in pursuit of a better life in Europe and nearly drowned.
After 1 hour driving, the motor just stopped and the boat started breaking and the people screaming. I was feeling like, it's over. I'm just gonna die here.
But he made it to England and soon began to frequent the London Aquatic Center, the same place Michael Phelps won 4 of his 23 career Olympic golds. Now keep in mind, Eid had never been in a pool before arriving in the UK. But 12 months later, he's training for the 2020 Olympics, which has stunned swim coach Daniel Bullock.
In 20 years of swim coaching, I've never seen an adult take to swimming so quickly and improve so rapidly.
Eid has a poster pinned on his wall of his hero, Michael Phelps, with the caption, "You can't put a limit on anything. The more you dream, the further you get." And those are words Eid himself lives by.
If you really have something inside your heart, if you have a dream, if you want to be a doctor, if you want to be a swimmer, teacher, if the passion is inside, just give it 100%. And no matter what, like, never stop.
Eid hopes to win a place on the refugee Olympic team and make a splash in the next summer games. Move over, Michael. And that's all from me. Back over to you, Sonny.
Thanks, Gwen. Certainly an inspirational story there about that Syrian swimmer. That's my VOA colleague, Gwen Uten. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America.
Voice of America!
Hello, I'm Carol Castiel, host of Press Conference USA, VOA's newsmaker interview program. Join us each Saturday and Sunday when we talk with authors, analysts, and policymakers who provide fresh insight on topics ranging from U.S. politics and foreign policy to science, culture, and global health. You can listen to Press Conference USA on the radio or online at voanews.com/PCUSA. While you're visiting our website, be sure to subscribe to our podcast. We'd also love to hear from you. Just send an email to pcusa@voanews.com or connect with us on Facebook at facebook.com/CarolCastielVOA or on Twitter at CarolCastielVOA. That's Press Conference USA every Saturday and Sunday on The Voice of America.
They're playing basketball.
In National Basketball Association action Wednesday night, the Denver Nuggets defeated the host Los Angeles Lakers 115-99 in Los Angeles, California. And while the Lakers lost the game, they did have reason to celebrate. Their superstar player, LeBron James, big milestone for LeBron. I mentioned those milestones earlier in the show by Roger Federer as well as David Beckham. Well, LeBron certainly had a major milestone on Wednesday night, and we're going to hear about it now in this post-game report by the AP's Mark Myers.
The Nuggets stopped a three-game skid with a 115-99 win over the Lakers. Denver built a 23-point lead only to see LA trim it to 2 in the fourth quarter, but a 15-4 surge put the Nuggets back in control. Gary Harris scored 11 straight points during the run.
Good to see some shots go in, and it felt better to get the win. So, whatever it took to get the win, it was good to get off this little shirt.
Harris finished with 19. Will Barton had 23. The Lakers' LeBron James had 31 points and passed Michael Jordan for fourth place on the NBA's all-time scoring list. Mark Myers, Los Angeles.
Thanks, Mark. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. LeBron James was asked about surpassing the great Michael Jordan on the NBA's all-time career scoring list. And LeBron, I'm quoting him here, "This ranks right up there at the top with winning a championship. In fact, I remember when LeBron came into the NBA, he was wearing number 23 in honor of his idol, Michael Jordan." Well, moments after LeBron moved past MJ into fourth place on the NBA's career scoring list, players around the league, as well as Hall of Fame great Magic Johnson, they began tweeting tributes to LeBron, and I'll read a few of those tweets now. Magic Johnson is the president of basketball operations for the Lakers, so you might say he's sort of LeBron's boss. And Irvin Magic Johnson had this to say in a tweet: "Congratulations to King James LeBron James for passing Michael Jordan and becoming the fourth leading scorer of all time in the NBA. Jay Crowder of the Utah Jazz tweeted, "Congratulations, King James. Nothing but respect, my brother." A former teammate of LeBron's, Kevin Love, he's with the Cleveland Cavaliers. He said simply, "Congrats." Chris Paul of the Houston Rockets tweeted, "Historic, unreal, bro." And one final tweet, Dwayne Wade, he played with LeBron on the Miami Heat. This is Dwayne's final season in the NBA. And D. Wade tweeted, "We talked about this being a possibility, and now it's a reality. Wow, congrats, my friend. You're not finished, nor are you done, but take this one in, LeBron. That's Jordan you just passed." Wow, passing Michael Jordan's definitely something to be proud of. And taking a look at the NBA scoring chart, LeBron is now behind Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, who's at the top, Carl the Mailman Malone, and another Laker great, Kobe Bryant. Kareem at the top with 38,387 points. And there's already talk around the NBA now that if LeBron can stay healthy over the next few years, he can pass Kareem Abdul-Jabbar and become the all-time leading scorer in the NBA. And that wraps up the March 7th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Bill Werkinger. Thanks also to VOA engineer Rob McLean. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
I get it. We'll be right back. Hello, Africa. This is James Barty, host of Daybreak Africa, inviting you to join me every weekday morning at 3, 4, 5, and 6 hours UTC as we bring you the latest in African news, features, and sports. You can also be a part of Daybreak Africa through our listener mail segment by sending your comments and opinions to daybreakafrica@voanews.com. You can also call us and leave us a voicemail at 202-205-9942. That's 202-205-9942. And when you hear the Voice of America identification, press the number 25 to leave us your message. Start your day with Daybreak Africa every weekday morning at 3, 4, 5, and 6 hours UTC on the Voice of America.
Hello, this is Shaka Sali, host of Straight Talk Africa.
On the next Straight Talk Africa, an exclusive interview with the Vice President of Malawi, Saulos Chilema. The Malayan politician and VOA's Shaka Sali discuss democracy and the upcoming elections. An in-depth look at Malawi's future on the next Straight Talk Africa.
Tune in Wednesdays at 18:30 UTC right here on VOA Africa.
Want to relax, unwind, or charge up? Then listen to Music Time in Africa this weekend. It'll do all that for you and more. I'm Heather Maxwell. I know good music. And Africa is my passion. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for 1 hour of commercial-free Pan-African music of the highest caliber. You get great music, music news, and amazing artist interviews from rising stars to superstars. This listen will take you places. So do it. Join me for Music Time in Africa, your weekend destination.
This is Science in a Minute.
NASA's recently retired planet-hunting Kepler Space Telescope has discovered thousands of planets since its launch in 2009. The first exoplanet candidate to be discovered by the space telescope is called Kepler-1658b. At first, the massive hot Jupiter planet was categorized as an exoplanet candidate, then was listed as a false positive when scientists didn't think the data indicated an actual planet. The scientists changed their minds later when it was again reclassified as an exoplanet candidate. An international team of astronomers led by University of Hawaii graduate student Ashley Chontos reported that Kepler-1658b has finally been confirmed as an actual planet. The team's research was recently presented at the Kepler K2 Science Conference in Glendale, California. I'm VOA's Rick Pantaleo.
Are you suffering from heartache? No problem. We've got the cure for you. The African beat can soothe your heartache with its awesome tunes from the African continent. So join me, David Vandy, Mondays through Fridays at 0900 and 2000 Universal Time for a healing journey. I guarantee it.
VOA's Learning English is available online at learningenglish.voanews.com. Check out our programs such as Let's Learn English, English in a Minute, Everyday Grammar, and many more. VOA's Learning English, your reliable source for learning English.
We are always glad to have our listeners throughout Africa tuning in to our newscast covering Africa news. Tune in on the top of each hour 24/7. VOA is your trusted source of news and information.